Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 134. As promised, today is a very special interview George conducted last week with Theo Quax and Louis G, the Flagstaff crew, reunited. Originally, this was going to be the second part of last week's episode, but just the way things played out, we've decided to make it into its own entire episode. So I think it's going to be very special and I hope you guys enjoy it a lot. Just a bit of information before we start. There's kind of a bit going on this week. We have the Penn relays, which I'll get into in a second, but firstly, the whole reason why I'm not back in America and I'm still in Australia is because this week on Saturday, I'm racing in China, Shanghai, Diamond League in the 5K. So I'm very excited for that. And then on the same day in America, Penn Relays is going down and we have a lot of the squad racing. In the men's mile, George is pacing and Ollie and Yard will be going head to head in that one. That'll be pretty awesome. Cinta, the lovely Cinta, she's doing the 800. Mara's doing the 800. And then Sage as well, rounding out the team, doing the women's 1500. So that's all Saturday afternoon. And Coffee Club related, very, very special. So we got a bit of a little plan this year, and it's going to go down Friday afternoon. We are going for a world's best, but not what you might think. Instead of a live podcast this year, we're going to do things a little bit different. And it's going to be your chance to join the Coffee Club Track Club as a lifetime member. We are going to attempt to go for the world record signing of the most NIL deals in one single day and make it into the Gus Book of World Best. And we use the term NIL there very loosely. So our booth is going to be open Friday, 1:30 to 3 p.m. in the On Athlete Zone. And there'll be a little photo booth, some giveaways, and it'll be a cool chance to meet Ollie, George, Tom, etc. Just kind of hang out, a bit of a meet and greet. It doesn't matter if you're competing or not. We would love to have you guys stop by. Check the link in the bio of our Instagram or the description of this video / podcast for the RSVP / interest form. Please sign up. And you'll want to be on the earlier side if you can, because we have some exclusive shirts, special Penn Relay shirts designed by the one and only Orange Runner that we are giving away. So be there early to grab those and come sign an NIL deal with us. We're going to take down, well, just a little backstory, I guess. So have you guys ever opened up your Instagram and you're flooded by a series of other brands, I'm not going to name them, other brand NIL deals, and you're like, wow, they just signed like eight people today, and it's super annoying because they all get posted at one time. Well, we're going to do that, but times it by 10. So we want as many people down there as possible to set the world record, most NIL deals in one single day. But yeah, mostly it's just a cool excuse for a meet and greet. So please be around. Ollie and George will be there the day before the race, and it'll be awesome. A bunch of the other On people will be there as well. So that's it from me. Next time I talk to you guys, we'll all be back together in Boulder, hopefully, if things go to plan, and we'll have a nice little catch-up episode, review episode, recap back in the studio finally. So without further ado, please enjoy this lovely interview.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast. As you can see, if you're watching this on video, we got a very special part two lined up for you. Louis G, Quaxi, welcome to the podcast. How are you, boys?
Hey, we're doing good.
How are we doing, mate? It's good to be on. It's
good to see you again.
Yeah, that's actually my intro for these guys. But if you either don't know what I'm talking about, Theo Quax, Luis Grijalva, NAU / Flagstaff Boys. This is actually perfect after a completely Australian podcast last week. We've got now an NAU / New Zealand podcast to balance things out. So,
Luis is considered nationality.
Yeah, New exactly.
Next citizenship.
Yeah. Luis is a two-time fourth place finisher at World Champs in the 5K. 12:50. What did you run in the 5K? 12:52.
Yeah, 12:52.
12:52, not too bad. Quaxi is just finishing up at NAU and had a bit of a breakout season. So yeah, we got some nice chat lined up for you guys today. We'll go a bit of a recent update on life of these boys, and then we'll get into what everyone wants to hear, the NAU Mike Smith Elite Flagstaff talk that no one can get enough of, apparently. So why don't we start the most recent. How did it feel, boys, to to lose to some college kids last weekend at Bryan Clay.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that.
I knew it was coming. I feel like once in a while, a pro loses to a college kid at some point in the career. And before then, honestly, I never lost to a collegiate athlete other than Nico and the Dome Mile or the 10K we did this past March. But, yeah, I knew when we did the 1500, I knew my wheels were probably blown the last 200 of the 15. And, yeah, I just kind of realized, like, you know, college kids are, you know, really good shape right now this time of the year. And I feel like with professional running, you're kind of coming from, like, an aerobic base part of the season this time in April. So, yeah, they're just really fit right now. And in all honesty, it was fun. Yeah, I think I got, like, 7th or 8th in my race in the 15, which is – not bad. You know, I was in first with 120 to go, and then I just got blown the last 120. So
I didn't actually see that. That's why I don't enter college races.
Yeah, I think as a professional runner, running in April in the collegiate race is very dangerous if you're not trying to get a big, if you're not trying to let your ego, I don't know, if you don't have an ego, then it's okay. But if you have a big ego, then yeah, it's pretty funny. But I think it all comes at some point.
Yeah, that's 100% the case. What was it was a double weekend, 5K, 1500 for both you guys. What was the plan? Like kind of a workout weekend?
Yeah, so basically it was just a workout. We haven't done too much. You know, I think we just wanted to break up training in some ways. And in all reality, like I just think it's like the best way to have a good workout is by racing and just kind of change things up from the monotonous of training. And, you know, I haven't raced too much this year. So I feel like for me, you know, the 5K was just get in a situation where it's going to be really messy. And I just found myself running in lane 2, lane 3 at some points of the race, kind of getting bodied around by college kids and kind of make it messy because there's not too many opportunities where, you know, I'm in a 13:20 race for the 5K, and I feel like this summer we're going to get a lot of opportunities that are going to be sub 13 races. So, yeah, just kind of get in a messy race, and you know, the plan was to kind of close hard the last 4 laps of the race, and then, you know, next day, just try to race the 1500 as best as we can. But yeah, more so a glamorous workout more than anything, honestly.
Were you an Abdi? Were you and Abdi racing that last 100 though? Or did you let him have it?
They were racing. Yeah, a little bit. There was egos on the line.
There was egos on the line. Because the plan was he'll get the first lap and then of the last mile, right? So he took the first lap. Then I got the last 2 laps, or I got the middle laps. And then I kind of scooted to the outside lane and let him take the lead with 400 to go. But the only issue was there was one guy behind us. It was like some French guy. Actually, he's on running. And I didn't know who he was, but I looked behind me with 200 to go. He's still behind him. I was like, oh shit, he's like, he might beat us. But then we just kind of got moving. And then, you know, the last 100 meters, like Abdi Hamid just kind of squeezed and made a really hard surge. I'm like, is he actually like kicking? I just can't tell. And I was like, oh, no fucking way he's going to do this. So I just looked to his shoulder. And then I tried to press a little bit. I was like, oh, he's actually pressing really hard. And but you know, losing to a US champ, I'll take that. So can't complain.
Abdi Hamid's got some wheels, that's for sure.
Yeah. Abdi Hamid's, yeah,
he's sneaky. He's sneaky. But I don't know if you heard of his performance in the 1500, but he was in heat 3 of the Bryan Clay invite, and he the first 50 meters, he
face planted the ground and slid.
He slid. He kind of surfaced. Kind of what's the word? Hydroplane, because it was raining. And
I did not see that.
some kid was in the inside of the track and he slid, and some kid called safe on him.
like he was running and he like slid like a baseball,
like going for a base.
Yeah, like a penguin sliding. It was kind of like that.
Well, why did Centro? Why did Centro have a DNF?
He did. Why did he
DNF as well?
He DNF.
That's what I heard.
I think he had like a something on up with his hamstring.
I think it's I didn't talk to him too much after the race, but he said something with his hamstrings was kind of bothering him. So I think he dropped with like 250 to go. Yeah.
All right. Craxy, what about your weekend? How was it being back in the mighty Pakuranga jersey?
I got some messages from club elders that were stoked that I was back in the Pakuranga jersey. Yeah, it was good. It was a similar thing. This is the this is the first time I'm going for a season where it could potentially go very late, depending how successful I am. And so this was kind of just, a glamorous workout, an opener, and didn't go into it with too much expectation, which was a lot of fun because I ran my second fastest 5K and second fastest 15, and that it felt pretty uncontrolled. But yeah, like I know I've been out of college for a month, but like I got no ego to lose it to college kids right now, especially April. And also,
not the ones at Brian Clay.
Brian Clay's gotten crazy. I wanted to get out. Smith's like, yeah, get out kind of slow and just work your way up. And in my head, I was like, oh, we're going to be running 64s. I'll get out like a 31 or a 32, and I'll probably be like mid pack. And I turned around at 200 meters. 200 meters in, ran through like 31 high. 200 meters in, I was dead last. I had 35 guys in front of me. I was getting paced for 13:15. And I was in my head, I was like, there's no way. There's probably three of you that are going to run 13:15. I don't know why you guys are going out this aggressively. And then everyone just goes out to lane three or four, like 200 meters in, to try make up all the places. And it was definitely a learning curve for me. Getting out that slow, but it was frustrating. It was a frustrating race and a lot of fun at the same time. It was just like in a field with bodies like that, it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's do the Quexy update first, kind of the last 6 months and coming out of finishing up your time in AU. You ran pretty damn good indoor season, 7:39 and 13:16. Is that right? 3K and 5K? Yeah. They got to be top maybe five New Zealand all-time performances.
I think I'm sixth all-time New Zealand.
But yeah, that sounds about right.
I take it as fourth.
Between you and but, all right.
Yeah, I don't know what I am for the 5K. I honestly should have checked for the 5K. For the 3K. But
That seems like a bit of a... bit of a breakthrough season, kind of. What do you attribute to that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, it kind of happened, and it's something I knew I was capable of for a long time, and things didn't really click sometimes in training or sometimes in races, and it would always be frustrating. And you know, I'd talk to Smith, and we're just talking about patience, and we know it's going to come, we know it's in there, and we know it's going to be, when it comes to light, it's going to be great. And there's a lot to accredit to that. The biggest one was finally graduating from engineering and not having to stay up and do.
Are you actually done?
I'm done. Oh, I've got the degree hanging above my desk. I'm stoked. Yeah. I'm doing a master's now in something else. I don't need to do that anymore, bro. You know how that was. That was hell on earth.
Actually done. Congrats.
Oh, yeah, cheers. So not having to deal with that outside stressor on my running. And also, in my time at NAU, especially during cross country seasons, when I ramp up the mileage, I had a lot of plantar issues. And that was something that kind of lingered for a long time. And I was able to get on top of that. And I haven't had plantar issues in about a year. And so all it's been is consistent training and light off of schoolwork, like external stress. And honestly, when I was running these races, I was like, I was almost like, it's about damn time. But it felt really, really good to finally reach these marks that I know I was capable of. And I'm talking to Smith, and the goals for outdoor are even bigger. The train doesn't stop. And super excited for what's to come. I mean, I had a great indoor season. I'm looking to have a better outdoor season, so that should be me.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on that team in August.
I would love to be
Paris.
On that
what's
team
the
as well.
What's the target? What's the target event, or do you have one?
Target event's probably gonna be the 5K. Just because. I mean, when I ran that 13:16, we closed in like a 2:29 or a 2:28, and it felt really good. For almost the entire time, and I finished the race, I was like, damn, if I was kind of like saying, Smith was saying, I should have probably been in one of the invite sections. And so, you know, as of right now, it's probably the 5K, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll run a fresh 15 in a couple of weeks, and we'll see how that goes. But I making that team in August would definitely be is definitely the goal. And you know, we could be roommates. That'd be fun. We could be roommates.
I look forward to it.
We can have an alumni reunion.
We got to see how many NAU current and alumni we can get to the Olympics, because I feel like
probably seven.
I mean,
pretty good numbers, I think.
With all the stuff going on in Spain, Las Heras has got a really good shot now. all the Spaniards.
That's true.
Nico's looking incredible. Abdihamid's always incredible. Colin Solomon, I was talking with him back in January, and we're both I think
Colin makes a team.
I think Colin makes a team as well. After that indoor mile that we did, I was like, hey, bro, I think
you get like six, seven NEU distance athletes that make it, and half of them are partly American.
Brooke Anderson as well. Yeah. She's still like killing it.
Yeah, she's crushing it.
Think so.
You get a lot, bro. Who knows?
All right. Well, you heard it here first. We'll see how this podcast ages in a few months from now.
This is going to be so embarrassing. We look at this in like 3 months.
Only one person makes it.
And it's just you two.
So, what are you saying? Are you saying in flag? We don't need a full. We don't need a real announcement if you don't have anything locked in. But staying in flag at least for the spring and into the summer.
Yeah, I've talked to Smith, and he said, it's funny. He's like having me carry on as if I'm on the team. He just wants me to like just flow through outdoors. So you know, I went to like a bystander training meeting this morning, and I'm still going to weights with the team and then a meeting afterwards. And I've got the whole shebang. I had the Golden Eagles last night, which I missed out on again. But it is what it is.
Wait, you didn't get a Golden Eagle?
I did, but I've never actually gone to the Golden Eagles.
Oh, what do you mean? Yeah. Why not?
I got in past times I've had class, but this time I legitimately just got confused on the time and just didn't show up, which is a bit embarrassing.
I'm surprised you didn't get that. What's like the goldenest eagle?
Yeah.
The guy who gets like it doesn't one person get like the athlete one, the one that like Baxter got.
Yeah. I got that like. I got that a year ago. Yeah,
I think Drew.
Oh,
and Nico,
wait, you did get that.
Drew and Nico got it this year. They were joint male winners.
Together?
That's the only reason I wanted to go is so I could watch their speech.
They did a speech.
It was. Really? I heard it was as underwhelming as you would expect.
Drew and Nico. What? That's funny.
They were joint. Drew and Nico were joint winners, bro. What a time to be an NAU cross country.
I can't remember what that award was for.
The most athletic,
the most athletic and the most smartest,
yeah. And the most academic.
That can't be right.
I know. stiff competition here at NAU.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I still need to talk to agents. I've been talking with Smith, and he says just to wait a bit and then get in touch with some agents. I'm going to get in touch with some agents in the coming weeks, and I've got nothing locked in, but as of right now, for the foreseeable future, for the next couple months, I'm going to be in Flagstaff under Smith. Probably traveling around with this guy a couple times.
And we're trying to go to Stockholm, actually.
We're trying to go to Stockholm.
I see that.
We'll be there.
When I was talking to the Britons, they were like, you can definitely get in since your dad broke the world record there. They're like, it would be an insult to your family if they didn't let you in.
That checks and, out.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
they need to pay it forward.
That
would be pretty sweet. Well, all right. How about Luis's last few months? Well, Luis, you had to come back from your first ever injury in the fall. Talk us through that.
So yeah, actually, luckily in my running career, I've never been hurt ever before. Like, you know, had a couple things that came up, but nothing really major that took me out more than a week. But yeah, this past fall, I was just on a run, and you know, my glute got really tight, and just thought it was just some soreness, whatever. And then after I finished my run, it's kind of hard walking around the track trying to do drills, and I kind of knew something was kind of up, and you know, my left glute just kind of like seized up and got really tight. And I was like, oh, this, I don't think this is a good sign. And, you know, I heard stories of people having similar situation where they're like, the body's pretty cool how like the way it's trying to protect itself, it just like locks up and like you can't move it. And yeah, so I just couldn't move. And then kind of got an MRI and got diagnosed with a sacrum stress reaction. And the good news is that we kind of caught it early, but it was terrible. Like I couldn't walk for like 12 days. I was just on crutches and, you know, just trying to kind of move around the house.
It's like putting on socks. That's like the worst thing for a sacrum.
Putting on pants is like probably the worst. Like, you know, like even when I was sleeping, if I shifted my pelvis, it would be extremely painful. Like, yeah, it was just like a awkward spot because I feel like the sacrum is just connected to so many muscles and just is really, really sensitive. But first injury ever, and kind of different. I never experienced that ever in my life. And then just kind of been hopping in the cross training. So I've been catching up on fitness by swimming. So I was in the pool for almost like every day from like probably like the start of December all the way through end of February, almost every day, just swimming, trying to learn how to swim. Cause like
my form. I was about to say, is that Craxy? What are you laughing at over there?
Yeah, that's why I was laughing. You know, what's funny is he's a huge pool guy now.
I'm a pool guy.
And you should see him with the swimming cap on. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Yeah. But I actually gained some weight upper body. Like I feel like I got a little bit bigger in the arms and I just got more muscle. But, I was lucky enough to be in a situation where at the NEU swimming pool, there was all these triathletes that were there, and then they kind of just taught me a couple things on how to swim and have a better stroke. But in all honesty, like, yeah, my form is so terrible, which is a good thing because like that means I'm working twice as hard as everybody else's because like I'm so inefficient in the pool, in the water. But it's a good thing because my heart rate is like, you know, there's some sessions where I was just swimming really hard and got up to like 180. I'm like, oh, that's really good. That's what I need right now. And got some tips from the NEU swimming coach, Coach Andy at NEU. And he's the one who gave me the NEU cap and kind of told me, like, you're taking too many strokes. And I think he counted how many strokes I took from basically 25 yards, and he counted 36, which is extremely a lot. And, you know, swimmers, they take probably like 15, 14 strokes. So I was doing double what they were doing. So I was working twice as hard, right? But but surprisingly, the pool kind of kept me in pretty good shape. And, you know, next thing I know, I started running. And then within the first week of running, I did my first workout back. And I did some threshold intervals. And yeah, aerobically, it felt fine. Muscular, it felt very, very different. Like, it just took me a time to kind of take away all that soreness. And then, yeah, I got into some situations where I was helping out NEU, pace deal to 7:39 race. And a couple of NEU people. And I had to build up where I think I took like 8-9 weeks off completely from running, and then slowly started starting with like walk and jog, and, you know, walk 200, run 200. So
were you using the boost
at NEU? A little bit, but I didn't like it, honestly. Yeah, I just felt like I wasn't doing anything. I don't know. Like, I know that doesn't make any sense, but it's not the same when you're like impacting the ground. And, you know, we did 80%, 70% on the boost, but it just didn't quite feel the same. And, you know, I think it's good to get that cadence going, but aerobically, I don't think it did anything personally for me. In between the, you know, didn't know what the season's going to look like. So in between when I started coming back from my injury to the 10K at Sound Running, I think it was like a solid 6 weeks of consistent training. And I felt like that was pretty good from a good starting point. And it felt like a fall race where you're just kind of using your strength and just seeing what you could do in the race. And then, yeah, kind of looking to this outdoor season, hopefully opening up in some bigger races overseas. And then that's kind of it. Like, not too many races going before Paris. And yeah, I think everything's just kind of different with alignment in terms of racing. And, you know, I think the Olympics is on everybody's schedule, obviously, right? Olympic year. But kind of after that, just kind of see where we're at. But yeah, that's kind of been my whole update.
Yeah, it was a bit different though, having you indoors this year. I feel like you normally show up and always a good battle at Millrose. But it's sad not to have you there.
I know. I don't know. I think regardless though, me and Mike decided not to, even before the injury, we were talking about like, hey, let's just skip indoors and do something different. But
an injury like that, like maybe because the timing, at least it was in the fall, and you know, can sometimes be a blessing in disguise in terms of, I don't know, even when I heard that you were injured, I was like, damn, Luis actually he's not indestructible.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought
the whole time during college, yeah. Like Luis was just like annoyingly invincible every day. It was like, yeah, Luis is out there.
Feel great every run.
Feel great all the time.
Run like 90, 100 miles a week, be fine, and do things that are like super odd, like something stupid. And like, I don't know, I just feel like I got away with a lot of things.
Do you feel like you've had to, do you feel like you're doing anything differently? Like, are you lifting finally? Like, what are you doing now? Are you doing anything different, or are you back to your old ways?
I think I'm back to my old ways, unfortunately. But I think the thing I've been doing differently is I've been swimming a little bit more. So I've been trying to keep the pool in just a little bit.
Nice.
Obviously, I started running more, so a little bit less of that. But I feel like the swimming and just like the way I feel in the water, I feel like it's very therapeutic on my body. Just like the muscles just feel better, if that makes sense. But I think we've been keeping in the pool because that's a good core exercise too. But I think in the future, I'm saving it up. You know, I don't want to be too great right now in my running career because I'm still young. So like maybe when I'm 28 and when I need an extra boost, I'll go to the weight room and do some weights. But as of now, like I think it's been working. And who's to say, like, yeah, maybe if I did go to the weight room, maybe I could be an extra like 2-3% better. But let's say instead of the weight room, I could run an extra 10% more running. You know what I mean?
I've heard this Luis theory before.
So would you rather go to the weight room or would you rather run like 10 to 15% more in your mileage? Right? And
I'd rather go to the weight room.
I hate the weight room.
There's girl math, there's boy math, and there's Luis math.
I talked to a couple runners and like, yeah, I don't do weights either. And he's like, yeah, I was talking to Andreas, Swedish runner. And he's like, yeah, I don't hit the weight room. I'd rather run 10 to 15% more.
And he probably said 10 to 15% as well.
Luis, he does run a lot and he is very good.
Yeah,
that's the problem with, and so do you. You also run a lot, like, and you're also very
maybe
good.
So if you went to the weight room, you would just be more tired. And
or you'd be faster in that last 50 meters, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, what about you though? Where's your running then? Have you started running more, or are you still running the same as when you were here?
Oh dude, I'm big numbers now. 10 to 15% more and 10 to 15% more, and I go to the weight room three times.
So he's gonna get a lot better.
Oh, you got me.
He's gonna get a lot better than you.
I took my first cross training day today for the first time in like 3.5 weeks. Actually, since I talked to Luis, probably.
Which was like 2 weeks ago.
Was that two? Or maybe it was 2 weeks. But I ran that morning, so
yeah, yeah,
my first full cross training day in a few weeks. I'm in the 90s now, Craig, so you'd be amazed.
In the 90s, actually.
Yeah, bro.
That is more than me right now. Yeah absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, not right now.
I'm a changed man from my college days.
No more 40 mile weeks?
No more 40 mile. I wish, dude. I can't believe I was running 40 miles a week.
You were doing 40 mile weeks, bro. Huh? Didn't you and Blaze used to have competitions to see who could run the least?
I think I was
like 40 to 50 and Blaze was like,
run this week I ran 18 miles or I ran 17 as well.
Blaze was literally like 25 to 30 maybe.
Yeah.
He knew how to keep the miles down, that's for sure.
I remember one year I tried doing that. I think my sophomore year. I was like, man, Jordy and Blaze, they don't run that much, so I'm gonna try running.
I'm gonna try not to run
that much. And I started like 50 miles a week and you know, made NCAAs, but you know. And I feel like personally I needed more. So it didn't work out for me.
Once you can run a lot though, like it starts feeling good. Because you're like, your body starts like adapting to the load and like it starts like craving like the consistent load. instead of like at NAU, I was just like a massive up and down, like a huge load for like 2 days. And then I'd have to like take 2 days off. And I was just like, and then it was just like a whole cycle. Whereas like, yeah. once you get to that level, where you can keep the load like consistent. And like, I feel like you just recover better and like everything just like works better. I feel like,
yeah,
that's Louis. 10 to 15% more.
10 to 15% more.
Louis, man. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, how's the, we better, now that you're somewhere between NAU and Mike Smith Elite, Craigsy, what's the, how entwined are Mike Smith Elite and the NAU team?
On and off. Like, I'll see you at drills. I'll see you at long run sometimes. Whenever you fancy showing up to as early as we run.
But, do you guys have the same schedule?
Basically.
Kinda, yeah, same schedule, but then you guys just do everything 2 hours later because you're pros now.
Yeah.
Which is like pro culture and flag stuff is so crack up. It's because we'll get our workouts done and finished by like 8:30. And then I see Louis strut into the track with his buckets on at 10 a.m.
Yeah, that's the dream, bro. You don't have to get up early anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to get up early and you can sleep in a little bit more. I think obviously college running is like you're bound to a schedule because of classes. But I feel like if you warm up, you could warm up and start your workout at the hottest part of the day or like when it's not like 40 degrees or 50 degrees outside, like spring time and flags. I feel like it's way more better. But I feel like we link up. I see them at drills maybe Mondays and Thursdays. And then Tuesdays, they'll be finishing the workout where I'll be getting into the track.
While he struts into the track.
Yeah. But it depends. We haven't done any sessions together.
No. Well, the thing is, like, I also...
Even Nico?
No, I haven't done a session with Nico since, like, at all this year. No. It's just because we're on different schedules, like, you know. Yeah,
it's a collegiate schedule, and especially if you are targeting the Olympics, like Luis is, Abdi Hamid is, it's not as smart as you know.
I mean like Mike is like gearing them up for like
regionals,
for like, you know, indoors is like they need this big sessions, so they're getting ready for UW or Boston, whatever it looks like. And you know, they're, you know, they could turn over really quick in March, right? Versus where professional running is like you can still turn over I think yearly, but you're just a lot more sharp in the summer. But I think we're just kind of different training stimulus in some ways. I think we keep Tuesdays pretty much the same in terms of aerobically and some threshold stuff. But then Friday, I feel like the college kids, they kind of maybe that harder VO2 sessions versus us is
just do double T.
Maybe double T or nothing too hard or something just to keep the legs in a rhythm, but nothing.
Until the summer, really.
Yeah, I haven't done a hard VO2 in quite a long time actually, so it's just different.
I think it's Friday actually. Are you going down to Cottonwood?
I don't know.
We're going down to Cottonwood.
I don't know the schedule.
What schedule are you on, Craigsy? You're on the college schedule.
Yes, on the college schedule.
I'm kind of on the college schedule, except I haven't at the end of indoors. I talked to Smith. Well, I mean, at the end of cross country, I talked to Smith before I ran anything of note, and I was like, hey, you know, I really think I have a crack at making the Olympic team for New Zealand. And that's something that we should keep in mind with my training, especially once indoors is done. And indoors is good because he was just like, hey, it's your last season. Let's honestly just have fun with it. You know, this could go good, this could go bad, this could go whatever. But let's just go to a bunch of meets and have fun and let's show off your range and your fitness right now. So he had me do like everything from like the 800 in the DMR to the 5K. 3K mile. Like I raced, I think 6 weekends in a row in indoor. I was back to the high school days, bro. And then after that, he was like, which is probably why I was a bit flat at indoor nationals. But then after that, ever since then, I haven't run faster than a 78. And then that was true before Brian Clay as
faster
well.
Faster than 78.
T and sub T between the end of indoors and the Brian Clay meet we just ran, I did double T and sub T sessions and was just like focused on building on mileage.
I was hearing this recently from a Flagstaff source. Even after you're now a 7:39 and 13:15 runner, are you still running 5:15s for threshold?
Yeah, absolutely right. You are damn right. Threshold is a foot, not a pace, really. You're in this box. Yeah. You're in this box.
Nah.
And you have to break out.
I've been gone for 5 years and you're still running the same threshold pace.
I run the same. In fact, I think freshman year I ran 76s. So I've run slower since you left. I think I've run slower since you left. But I'm dead serious. It's funny because
the people in your group, their 5K PRs must be like 40 minutes.
I ran 13:16 off 78s. Which in my head is like, I've got a huge ceiling for what. I joke with Smith. I say, if I can get to 76s, I'll be the best in, I'll be one of the best in the world. And if I can get to 74s, I'm the best in the world.
He did a sub T on the treadmill, 8 mile sub T. And I think he averaged like 5:30.
I averaged 5:28 and I got off. I was chuffed.
That was the hardest thing I've ever done.
I'm telling you.
Have you not adjusted to altitude after 6 years?
Oh, I've adjusted a lot better, but
no way.
I've adjusted a lot better, but it's just like when I was running 78s before, that wasn't T, and now it's finally T.
VO2 for a while, and now it's just VO2
for like freshman, sophomore, junior year. Every Tuesday, I was doing. Well, I remember my freshman year when I was running 76s, I'd do 4 by a mile, and then I'd vomit afterwards, and I was like. This is just what working out is, you know. I was like, I didn't get the idea of the concept of T my freshman year, but now I understand a lot better. And you know, I could be creeping into the 76s pretty soon. If I can run 76s before July or June, that Olympic feels trouble, bro. It's in serious trouble. But I like to look at it as like a, yeah, like if I can run 13:16 off running 5:12 miles for my aerobic sessions, that I have a huge potential upside for the strength aspect of my running. And so I kind of look at it as a good thing. I try not to, I am looking to make the step. I'm not just like, oh, I'm going to stay in 78s, but
I believe it.
Looking forward to it.
Well, freshman year to your last couple of months, I guess, and that you've just finished up. How much has NAU changed? Would I recognize the team?
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
The team is
so much like
from my lens is like,
listen to his lens and then listen to the correct lens.
Okay. My lens is like, everybody tries extra hard. Everybody's serious. Like, from 2017 to the team now in 2024, it's like a lot of the college runners at NAU, they're all like professionals. Like they live the mindset of like eat, sleep, train, skip class. Sometimes, I don't know. I used to skip class. They're all into running and kind of everybody's all on the same page versus when I was running. NAU, I just feel like we had people all over the place. Like some people didn't want to run, some people didn't want to be on the team, some people were just doing it just to say they did it in college. But it's just like they're just way more serious.
We don't need to name names.
What was your freshman year? 2018.
Like if you look back,
2017. How would you describe the team back then?
We had some serious characters on the team.
Yeah, just like, there's like
we had some serious characters on the team.
It was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It was a lot of fun because there was always something kind of going on.
There was always
some type of drama or something kind of funny that kind of happened to somebody. But now, like everybody, like
everybody's just the same.
Everybody's the same basically, and they there's no drama. There's like no kind of entertainment. It's like so you know how like
you're saying like drama is like a really good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing, but it's like there's no like Dennis Rodman on the team and something kind of funny. Rodman, you know what I mean?
I know who you're talking about. so Smith's job got a lot easier, is what you're telling me.
It got to the point because Brody and I were basically like took kind of helms of the team. And we were like, hey, The NCAA, like between now, between 2018 and now, the NCAA is like crazy. It's cracked. And so,
do you think it's actually? Do you think the runners are actually better, or do you think
the runners? I think the runners.
Or do you think they're just running faster? Like okay, Nico is insane, but
I think the runners are better.
I think the training is better.
I think the runners are better, and like you look at post COVID, I mean, there's obviously a gap because, I mean, I was 24 and in the NCAA, and that wasn't a thing a while ago. A bunch of people are old and in the NCAA. Casey Klinger's coming back next cross country. I think he'll be
27.
I think legitimately he'll be 27.
Nah, he's my age, so he's 25.
We'll be 26 then in fall.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that going on. Like there's a lot of fifth year, sixth year stuff that makes it seem a lot faster. But there's also a lot more internationals that have come into the NCAA. A lot more. I think a lot of them have seen it as a big opportunity to get noticed by brands that they wouldn't have been noticed in their country, maybe. Probably similar to how we came over. And I think that's a lot more prominent now in the NCAA.
No, I just think the training is a lot better because, like, you get the same athletes. And, like, I don't know if in 2019, I don't know if you remember that Brian Clay 1500-meter race that we were all in.
We were all in that. Actually.
We all ran 3:39.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had, like, a Yard in that race, too, and then you had Ollie in that race. So I think the talent's always been there.
Carlos was in that race.
Yeah, and Carlos. And, like, I think the talent's always been there, but I think people are just smarter. People are probably running more, training harder, being more specific or specific in certain situations and training. But yeah, I think the talent's always been there, but training.
Also running's changed.
Yeah.
Like you look at the way
there was this 2017-18 era. That was like pre-Super Shoes. Like that was like Baxter, T-Day, Truard, me,
yep.
Pete, Blaze. Do we have any lasting impression on the team now?
Oh yeah.
Or are are we just ancient memories?
I mean, we see Andy all the time.
We see a couple.
That's true. Andy,
McElroy's huge on the team. The boys love McElroy.
That's all he posts about is NAU.
The boys love Matt and T-Day whenever we see him. But yeah, no, I think Brody and I have done a good job of preserving being like, hey, like you came onto the team and it's pretty polished, but there's a lot of guys like Footsum, Zena Selassie, David McNeil, who really paved the way for NAU to be what it is today. And it sure as shit wasn't glamorous back then when they were doing it.
Yeah, and now they got the HPC.
And now they got the HPC and they got the cold tubs. And every time I'm in the cold tub, and any freshman or sophomore who's listening, I'll let them know. I'll be like, oh, back then, oh, geez.
Back in my day. I mean, that's...
But
you have been there a long time.
Yeah. The team is like just a semi-professional group now when it comes to like high schoolers these days. You know, they come in so mature nowadays. Like some of these kids take visits and I'm like
you unlike said, how you came into the team.
Not like how I absolutely, which is good.
No, because you came on the team and it's like, all right, what's the next party at? Or what's the... they don't have
that. They don't do that as much, which is good. I mean, like they can live their lives however they want, and I encourage them. Like, you guys should have fun when you can, but there's a time and a place. And also
I would say the difference between 2017 and 2024 now is like that any team is just like a professional running
it's a semi-professional team, and a lot of these
I think better than semi-professional.
We're probably the best Adidas team.
I think NAU is probably one of the best professional running groups that is there.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the top end of it; it is pretty
it's good. Yeah,
it is pretty wild.
Yeah, they're world class for sure. Think NAU benefits from Mike Smith Elite, or does Mike Smith Elite benefit more from being with NAU? I guess you guys get the facilities, so
yeah. I think it goes both ways because you know they see what me and Abdi Hamid are doing at the highest level, and I think that's very encouraging. So like I know if I was in college and I was 18-19 years old and I was around people who were world finalists multiple times and you know just doing it at the highest level, I feel like that's very encouraging because like they could kind of look at it as like, well, I'm doing the same thing that Luis and Abdihamid are doing, and we have the same coach, and then they've been through NEU a couple of years back. So I feel like it kind of goes both ways. And I feel like for me personally, I get lit up every time I see the NEU team. And, you know, as much as I sometimes want to stay away from the college scene, I feel like it always comes back to me. And I'm like, all right, I'll be in college again and, you know, hang out, have a couple laughs and just hang out with the college people. But, you know, I think it goes both ways. You know, they see us, what we're doing on the track, and we're always there supporting them. And I think we're just very friendly, and it makes sense. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like I was proud when I ran at NEU, and like if I could support an NEU athlete currently, or just like having a simple conversation can kind of go a long ways. And I just feel like for me personally, I kind of like that. And I just like investing into people's lives right now that are running at NEU. And I think this is so much fun.
Yeah. I think I would have loved to have like people like that kind of Mike Smith elite-ish team that you guys have now while we were still in college.
Yeah,
just like look up to and kind of see what they were doing.
Once you see that, it's like it becomes like
a lot more possible.
Yeah, it becomes more possible, and it's like how Luis started and how Abdihamid started at NEU. You know, like even Abdihamid's story, like he wasn't running that well, and it took him quite a while to kind of get up to where he was his last year at his college. But kind of his backstory is like, yeah, he wasn't running, was that much, and high school wasn't fast, and then, you know, joined a system that worked, and yeah, US champ, world finalist twice, and now he's at the top of the, you know, international level, and then definitely the US level. But I think it's just so motivating. Like, I remember every time I saw like Rachel Smith training with us at NEU, or she would just pop by, I feel like, oh, she's a professional runner running next to us, or, you know, getting coached by Mike. So it's definitely motivating. I say from my lenses, maybe it's different from Dio's, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. How sustainable do you think that is for your career? Like, how long do you think you could see yourself being that connected to the NAU team or to Mike? Or like stuff.
You know, honestly, I'm enjoying it right now. I'm loving it. Mike with professional runners, he's very kind of not hands off, but like, you know, he gives you a lot of freedom and a lot of flexibility to kind of run how you want to run in terms of easy running, how far you want to go, you know, the range of miles per week. And, you know, he's there for every sessions mostly. And, you know, obviously I signed up for a collegiate coach, so I know what I'm getting myself into. But I think it's just cool working with Mike because, like, you know, I know him since I was 17 years old. And I feel like I love the working with him because he knows me so well, but like also like kind of like the relationship side of it. I think it's just cool to, you know, we started when you were 17, 18 years old to now I just turned 25. So we've been doing it for over six years or so. And I just feel like it works. It makes sense. And I think our system, we're training at a very high level, and sometimes we don't even have the bigger resources as most professional running teams have. But I don't know. You always hear Nick Willis.
I've seen videos of you in that altitude room.
But like, no, Nick Willis.
I know someone's letting you in there.
Yeah, they all know me. Like, I don't know if you last time you've been in Flagstaff, but there's posters of me and Abdihamid all around through NEU.
Okay, all around is an exaggeration.
No, it's all around. It's like every corner you go, you're going to see a picture of me.
Do I not have a poster?
No, you
do not have a poster. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's
been there for
you. Didn't quite meet the diversity quota they're looking for.
They don't like ugly people.
I didn't meet the requirements.
Yeah.
And I left Flagstaff, so I was disloyal.
I wouldn't say leaving Flagstaff makes you disloyal. You didn't leave the team.
No one else leaves Flagstaff.
That is something I've noticed. Like, people come to Flagstaff and they're like, they just stay.
What is it about Flagstaff? Why is everyone, I mean, shit, how busy is it right now with pros?
It's just massive, like. Yeah. You got the Europeans, and then you got all the domestic running groups coming up here now. And it's that time of the year where everybody wants to get their altitude training. And I feel like everybody's
It is pretty packed, yeah. But I mean, the team avoids it mainly by, I mean, no pros are warmed up ready to go at 7:45.
Yeah. I can't believe you have to do that. Yeah. That sounds horrible.
Anything between 9 a.m., 10 a.m.
Yeah. Anything past.
So we don't deal with it, but you probably do. But like, then again, like, yeah, I hope there's not another incident of like the Sedona track or when the French Canadian steeplers were like running into school kids, and I don't know. I hope there's none of that's going to happen this year.
No, it's probably going to happen.
We only used Sedona once since you've left, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cottonwood only.
Yeah, we only go to Cottonwood because the athletic director got spooked, and then they got a new athletic director, and now we have like no relationship with them, so we don't go to Sedona that much anymore. Oh,
surely, surely the NAU track needs resurfacing at this point.
They are
how bad is lane one?
Whew, lane one is perfect. Lane one is perfect.
It was full of holes. It
builds character.
I would say that.
You know what's crazy is, I think my tee at running on the NAU track is 78, but if I went to any other track in the country, I'd probably be on 74s.
Nah, it's character.
It's good.
That's also because you're at altitude. Yeah, I don't know if that's the track.
I know, but like, even when you go to like the local high school track and I'm like, wow, I actually like have return when I put force into the ground. That's crazy.
And you're also not altitude.
The local high school track?
Yeah, I guess.
What time is Jingi warmed up, ready to go?
He's late. Whenever, I think he's really late morning. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw him running before I came here. I think probably warming up.
I think he does late morning and late evening. That's his time schedule.
Yeah. Is he friendly? What do you get out of the Ingies at the track?
I chatted to him and his entourage. He does have
an entourage. That is the word. He does have an entourage.
I really like Hendrick, bro. Hendrick's great.
Yeah, he's funny.
He's funny, eh?
I think they're just very exclusive, and
they want to keep to themselves
who they pick to hang out with or run with. But me and Abdi Hamid ran with them last Monday. But I think I'm sure they enjoy the company, something different. But I think they're very exclusive in terms of who they hang out with or run with. So
you just did an easy run.
Yeah, easy run.
What do you think his tee is? Have you ever timed a lap of them on the track?
I bet he runs his tee 72, 74.
We walked part of the track and because we're doing something unrelated, and we're walking by the track and they were there, and so Bosley got out of his watch. Bosley was timing it, and I think he said he was running 64s, 64 400s and 30 seconds rest.
That's the Jakob special.
Yeah, I mean, I paid no mind. Like, I'm not trying to be all in my head, being like, "Oh my gosh, what's he gonna run?" But I turned around. We're walking through, and I turned around. I saw Bosley just like watching with his.
And no, honestly, I just feel like I've been in situations where, like, you know, a lot of people put him kind of in this pedestal. But I just feel like I've been surrounded by so many people that I have done that at the highest level, like. You know, Centro was training with us for a solid month, and, you know, Olympic champion, and just like Centro and Jakob are just two completely different athletes. And it's fun to see different perspectives and how they do it. And it's just funny. You get different sides of it. And then, and I remember running with Galen and a couple other professionals, but I don't know. I just feel like I've been surrounded by so many people that have done it in the highest level where it doesn't even faze me. And it's like, there's no secret sauce in terms of like what people are doing in terms of training, running, eating, sleeping, whatever. I just feel like it's, everyone's different. Everyone's on their own journey. And like, I couldn't care less what they're doing or if they're doing a secret workout. Cause like, I don't know. I just feel like I don't care anymore. Like, I don't care what other people are. Actually, recently, since I've been a professional runner, or like this past like year and a half, like I just stopped caring what other professional runners are doing. Like, I just really don't care, like, at all. I don't care about the workouts. I don't care about the splits, the races, anything like that. I've been actually trying to stray away from professional runners, actually. So I've been trying to hang out with less professional runners than Flagstaff. We're more of a college kids.
Yeah, college kids.
All right. I'll stop texting you then. I won't force you to hang out.
No,
it's
fine.
I'd say that's a pretty, I think that's a smart place to be. Like, it doesn't, it's very easy to be curious of, like, especially people like Jakob, just because he's a bit of an enigma, but I think it's not going to help your own running or your own mindset to be obsessed about what other people are doing. Like, that's not going to help.
You can't put somebody on a pedestal and then race against them and expect to not get like zoned out or like kind of freaked out. Like, you kind of just can't idolize somebody and then toe the line to race against them and be like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, we're all human. Yeah. You need to beat as many people as possible.
Exactly.
Go on my Instagram and go, oh my gosh, look at Jordy Beamish. And then toe the line and be like, oh.
You can do that. That's all right.
But so, I don't mind. We got to get humble by like going to Brian Clay
and getting beat by college kids.
By Gary and whatever.
Brother, I was in college a month ago, bro. This doesn't faze me. I was getting beat by college kids then. I was getting beat by college kids.
Nah, that's, I like it.
Especially when one of them's a, what is he, 19-year-old at NAU running 3:33?
Oh, no, that's a different heat.
We're in a different heat to that.
Oh, that's true.
But Colin's on one right now, and he's gonna be very, very hard to beat come US trials, I believe.
Yeah, that's a long season for a 19-year-old. But
it was a long season for a 19-year-old.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes.
That's right.
Well, boys, that was a lovely reminiscent chat. What? Anything else? Anything else to cover? What do you think?
What do we think?
What do you want to cover?
Actually, funny story. I don't know. But so me and Theo, we've been.
We can always cut this out if it's not legit.
It's not bad. It's just stupid.
It's funny. We've
been going to, like, Luis and I have been really into pool. Like, and Luis sucks at pool.
Like the pool game, like, you know.
And we go to a pool hall. We go to Uptown Pub House. Do you ever go to Uptown Pub House when you're here?
No idea. Never heard of it.
We go and we play pool on like Saturdays, Wednesdays.
Maybe like once or twice a week.
Yeah. And we've become like regulars there now, to the point where like the bar.
Do you have to put a quarter on the table? Like, is it busy?
No.
You reserve
that.
Oh, table. Right. You don't have to play for it.
Nah. We wouldn't win. We wouldn't play for it. We would not be playing for that at all. and there's a barmaid who showed a bit of interest since we're regulars, and we're debating between the two of us which one she's showing interest in, and Luis thinks it's him, and I think it's me. Yeah. So that's been an ongoing saga for the last couple of weeks.
So we're trying to figure out which one she likes, who she likes better, right?
Who she likes more. Like, or if it is just she needs a tip because she needs a job.
No.
Which I think it is.
The way she talks to her is different, right? But it's funny because she knows my name, but I don't know her name. Dio knows her name. But
she knows my name.
She doesn't know your name.
She knows my name.
No, she doesn't.
Just what? It's just like figure it out.
Like that we like having, it's like, I bet she likes you more or she likes me more. You know what I mean?
What, do you have a plan to figure it out?
Oh, mate, I was just going to straight up ask her. I'm like, and then Luis starts yapping about, oh yeah, how much do you like pool? Oh yeah, you have any special techniques?
Like, I suck at pool. I'm trying to get better at it.
Don't keep that in there.
That's definitely legit. That can stay in.
everything's been chill here though. Like, we've just been really enjoying training and hanging out, and we like Brian Clay, we got an Airbnb together because I can't travel with the team, and I mean that was a lot of fun. We'll probably do that a couple of more times in LA, and
we've just been having so much more fun.
I need to sort out this whole agent thing though.
Yeah, it's not serious, it's not intense, but like we still get after it in terms of training. But I think we also like to have a good time and kind of not let loose.
let's connect about Stockholm then, because I'm trying to stay an extra day. So maybe we could get a place. You guys should stay one extra night or something. We could get a place.
Hey, that'd be sick.
We'll, We'll see what happens. We'll see if I can actually go.
He'll go.
But if I'm going, absolutely, yeah. Let's link up for sure.
It'd be great to see you boys.
Hopefully we'll be in Paris.
And maybe a trip to Flagstaff. I miss that.
Place. A trip to Flagstaff.
Yeah, right. Man. You want to
you can meet the bartender.
Yeah. You want higher altitude training? Come here.
Craxy, it sounds like Craxy needs some lower altitude training for that threshold.
Mate, I need to go to see what all the fuss is about in Boulder with 5,000.
Oh, it's the dream down here. Easy breathing.
There's no trees in Boulder, so anywhere you run, it's all sunny. It's
all sunny.
Yeah,
I need a tan.
Yeah, that is true. You're right about that one. If it's hot, it's hot. You're not escaping it.
It's hot, no trees. It's too bougie.
I heard it's the whole Boulder section is just like the Whole Foods section of Flagstaff.
Yeah,
that's like the entire Boulder.
So you know,
that's a good description. I think that's just the whole
I imagine it. That one block, but it's the entire thing. Yeah. That seems a bit too.
that's too nice for me. I can't do that.
Blue collar man like Luis, he couldn't
running up the mountains.
For you white collar boys, he couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, you don't shovel Whole Foods, Luis?
No, I go to Sprouts.
No, I have been going back to Sprouts a little bit in Boulder, just for old time's sake.
Just for old time's sake. Reminiscing.
I'm still going to Fry's.
Vibes have been good in Sprouts.
I'm still going to Kroger's.
I can't stand that place in Flag. Fry's or whatever it is? That's a terrible grocery store.
Man's going to eat. Man's going to eat.
Jordan Fry goes to like Trader Joe's.
You're a Trader Joe's to a T.
Everyone would go to you would go to Trader Joe's too if it was in Flagstaff.
I don't think I'm going to Trader Joe's. I'm not trying to.
You only don't go because it's not there.
Like something
you
super
just said
obscure.
That we don't have it. It's so cheap.
Some things.
Yeah.
Alrighty, boys. This was this was lovely. Thanks for being on the pod. This was
thanks for having us.
Me and Theo together.
Episode 133. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And that's it from us for episode 134. Hope you guys enjoyed this interview, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye bye.